go to the Lord. We want to be mindful of His Word, and He speaks to us always. God is always wanting to communicate with us, so we're thankful and grateful for that. And try to have our... So our title is focusing on the... We're going to return in Mark. We were in the Gospel of Mark. We're not going to move forward. We're going to move a little back and go to the baptism of John the Baptist of Jesus. And baptism for John was for repentance. He brought people together to say, receive the water of baptism. Jesus himself did. But the baptism of Jesus is for eternal life. It's a much more larger thing that he does for us. So today we get to revisit this baptism of Jesus in the Jordan by John the Baptist in Mark chapter 1. Jesus does this to identify himself as one of us. He is with us through every part of our existence and is willing to adopt to himself this identification with our sinful state, even though Jesus is without sin. He has no sin whatsoever, but he is come to earth, incarnated in a human body of flesh and blood to join us in our journey. And that is why we point again to the shell, which represents pilgrimage. There's a journey that we take as people. And Jesus is joining us in that and showing, you know, to be faithful. We take water and we get baptized. It is a baptism requirement for the church. We call every member of the church to be baptized with water. We use water, and that is why we wanted to make a little highlight of the water here. Because we all need to die to our sins and be made alive to God. That is an ongoing, everyday call, a sanctification kind of a thing, but die to our sins and live to the God who is alive with us and walking with us. So that is a key part of what has been happening here. As we had a baptism, we are marking out the pathway for Evo and Sienna, but it's particularly highlighting the fact that we all need to be humble before God and to walk in His ways. We want to show that to them. And it's not to be walking in our own way. We need to continually be turning towards God's path and be called away from our own dead ends and our own meanderings and our own detours. What we are seeing is that we get marked as people who are going to dwell with God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we are asking Jesus to dwell with us, both with us and in us. And he does this by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, which is symbolized by the water. Let us pray for a moment before I read that text in Mark 1. Dear Lord, thank you that you continually speak to us in the Word and that you have Jesus showing us the way. We want to model our lives after His. We want to be like Him, humble, willing to come and be baptized by John the Baptist, just to be dutiful, to be identified with us in our sin, although He's taking upon Himself the sin of the world. And He truly becomes the Lamb of God who takes away our sin, the final and ultimate sacrifice for us. We thank you for that power of cleansing and empowering us to live according to your standard of holiness. Help us to see that in this text. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Mark chapter 1. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now, my message is to say that when John was preaching baptism, this is a picture of Mark, not John, but Mark, reflecting on this story of John the Baptist and writing it down in his gospel. When John is preaching baptism, he's helping people respond to the urge to get right with God. They want to get right with God. That's why they all come. Crowds come to him to be baptized in the water. He brings into focus our accountability to a God above. And the people of Israel feel accountable. They feel the need and urge to repent and be cleansed. Because our God rules over our consciences and our hearts and our world. And the people respond to John's message because their hearts were hungry for what they needed, which is forgiveness. Because God has set a standard for us contained in his law, the wonderful Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, commit adultery, covet your neighbor's wife or ox or any belonging of theirs, those kinds of commandments. But the people of Israel proved to be powerless to fulfill that law, and we are powerless to fulfill it. So the Lord then placed his standard in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus becomes the new center of our faith, not worrying about the law per se. The law becomes a guide. By it, we can give gratitude to God. By it, we know we are marked. And Jesus said, it's not just a law about the shall nots. It's a law about love. He says that the whole Ten Commandments can be summarized by two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's why John the Baptist got such a receptive crowd. They wanted to love God with all their heart, soul, and strength. They wanted to be right with their neighbors. And he said to them, if your neighbor strikes you, turn the cheek and let them strike you on the other side. Don't be vengeful. John the Baptist said, when a soldier asks you to walk a mile with their pack because they're the dominating, occupying force, he said, walk 2 miles. Show them that you're willing to be at least work with and do the best you can in the dutiful ways you can. But the problem for them, the people here in John the Baptist's time, was the laws of God can make our consciences alive to God as a holy God, and it highlights us as an unholy people, but we need the power to live it out. And the power comes through Jesus Christ. We thank God for sending us the Lord to embody his law. Our goal is then to live like Christ because he is now our goal and model, to live like Christ in gratitude because we are set free by Christ. In all that we are and all that we do, we then display a Christ-likeness. And I hope that is what Evo and Sienna see in us. When they're walking amongst us, when we're working and interacting, they see Christ Jesus in us as he lives his life in us. And you see, we are all baptized with water, just like Jesus was baptized with water, but it's really not about the water at all. It is all about the Holy Spirit, the power to live that life of holiness. Genesis 1 says that the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters in preparation for the creation of the world. The Holy Spirit hovered over the waters. When God creates man, he then breathes life into him. The Holy Spirit comes on Mary and she conceives our Lord Jesus. You see the power of the Holy Spirit work in creation and in the story of Jesus. Most importantly, we are depending on the Holy Spirit to be present to Evo and Sienna to witness to them and show them the beauty of Jesus Christ. Ephraim and Irene, as parents, are going to be held accountable as parents of these two beautiful children. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are being called to help build them into a Christ-like character. You are seeking to have them become good disciples of our Lord Jesus. You are being asked to tell them and show them what the gospel is. Jesus is their Lord and Savior too, just like he is yours. You have affirmed that, you know it, but they need to learn that. You do this trusting in the Holy Spirit to work in you, trusting the Holy Spirit to give you the guidance and the strength and the wisdom as parents. It's not easy to be parents at all. You know that. It's tough raising children. All of us who've seen that, know what that's like. But you're not alone. Brought your children here to Faith Church, so the Faith Church is with you. And so this congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ are also being asked to be dependent on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you to share your faith in Christ with all other members of the body here at Faith Church, including Evo and Sienna. And that includes, you know, what the worship group is doing, preparing for worship and contributing in worship, what the Sunday school is doing as people are going down and learning, as all of us are going about our weekly activities, as we get together as elders or council or budget committee, or, you know, there are all the many facets of the church. You come to church to clean it. You are helping us, you know, care for the facility we use to worship in. And so we're all part of it, but we're also interacting. Every Sunday we're interacting with one another. So we hope and pray that you can share your faith in Christ with all other members of the body here at Faith Church. And that's part of what we do when we pray together as well. Jesus shows us and proclaims a kingdom of God with an answer for our human condition. God has now provided the antidote to our sinful nature. John says, the one who is to come, not John, John is baptizing people, but he says, he prophesies about Jesus, he says, the one who is to come, I am unworthy to untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. And so that is a wonderful and beautiful thing. The antidote, of course, to our sinful nature is the balm of Gilead. There's a wonderful song about the balm of Gilead. Maybe we can sing that sometime, Hillary. What do you think? I don't know. We'll see. And it says that's a healing. It brings a healing for our sin-sick souls. And that is, of course, Jesus Christ giving his life on the cross. His birth and his baptism is leading to the cross. It's all in the journey to the cross. Now we come back again, I come back to water. We are all baptized with water. We say we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if we've not been baptized, then I hope you will be. Come to me. We will be happy to have a baptism for you. In fact, we are expecting to have another one in a couple of weeks. We'll tell you more about that later. For many of us, it may have happened, our baptism as little children. We came as little children. I was baptized as a little baby. The most closest I could come to it is, you know, the elders who were there signing the baptism. They witnessed it. My parents brought me up. I was baptized by a minister. I don't know his name. I don't even know what he looks like. You know, you're a baby. But I know and believe and trust that I was baptized in the fellowship of the congregation of Jesus Christ in his name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I was baptized in a church, and the record has been made. And that is the act of baptism. That's enough. I'm all done. I don't need to be rebaptized. I don't need to go to the ocean. Although I have baptized a couple people in an ocean, the North Sea in the Netherlands. And I know that I've seen some pictures of Neil Culberson baptizing people in the ocean. It doesn't matter. The water's here. We'll baptize you here too. But we as baptized believers remember that our act of baptism being brought here in front of the community of faith was not the end of our need for cleansing. That baptism isn't the final word. It's not the final act of our belonging. We need to make that new time and again as we come to the cross, as we ask God to feed us, as we seek every day to be his disciple. God is calling us to turn to Jesus every day the rest of our lives. I hope that witnessing this baptism will help remind us all of our own baptism. And every time, remember, it's a triune act of our God in heaven. As Father, he wants the very best for us. He made us. He made the world to live in, that we may have life and have it abundantly. As a Son, he was willing to lay down his life that we might be free, free from the power of sin and the curse of death. And as the Holy Spirit, he is moving us into conviction of how to be a better follower of Jesus Christ, a better Christian, and a better person. The Holy Spirit works that in us, brings out the fruit of the Spirit, brings out us becoming more faithful, more dutiful, more patient, more kind, more gentle, and a host of other things. The Holy Spirit was working in Jesus as he went from his baptism, because he went on into his ministry. He healed fever. He healed leprosy. He drove out demons from the afflicted, and he restored people to be what they are called to be as God's own people. And he said, I am bringing deliverance. I am bringing the kingdom of God. Trust me, because in my name, when you say that name, you can be received directly into heaven. Because that is the answer you must give, you know, when you come to heaven. Don't come with a list. Don't say, I've written my list, Lord. I've got 199 things accomplished. And God says, no, it's okay. It's not enough. I have a million things you're supposed to do. You know, God's standard is very high. But he says, how do you come? And you plead, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and my Savior. And he says, welcome. You've come home. You're welcomed into his holiness. It's his beautiful work, and it's his and his alone. So Evo and Sienna are God's own people. They belong here, and our door is always open to them. We shall endeavor to give them every opportunity to grow and become all that God wants them to be. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this act of baptism, the water, but more importantly, for your Spirit working and moving among us. We thank you, Lord, that we are disciples, learners, always learning, always being reminded, knowing that we are people whose hearts can grow hard, whose minds can be forgetful, but who need to continually be called to you because you are very merciful, you are very patient, you are very kind. And you will help us. You will walk with us and talk with us along our way so that we may follow you and do what Jesus would like us to do, say what Jesus would like us to say, and be what Jesus wants us to be. In his precious name we pray. Amen. We lift up our hearts in praise to God.